Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
It is the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Monson. I'm Kim Monson.
I'm Molly Vogt.
We hope you are having a terrific Tuesday. And if you're stuck in traffic, just count your blessings because we have a great show planned for you today. This first segment, we're going to be talking about something that is on both Molly's and my radar. And we want to let you know that we have our fave, Dr. Jill, is in studio. And we're going to be talking about some really interesting things regarding President Trump's executive order on health care. So, Jill, it's great to have you here.
Thanks so much. It's so great to be with you, ladies.
So we'll be talking second, third, and fourth segment with you. And jump in if you have any comments on this guest that we're going to have here, probably on the line. Molly, what's on your radar?
And, by the way, that's Dr. Jill Vecchio. We didn't give her last name. And if you don't know, she was one of the original AmeriChicks. It was the three of us at one point. And Dr. Jill Vecchio is a women's radiologist. And she is one of the ones who read the entire 2,300-plus page Obamacare bill, right? 2,200 pages. And so she's an expert in the field, and that's why we're going to get into all that. But real quick, I wanted to start with science and the EPA. You know, the reason, Kim, we do what we do is we want to keep our eyes on the process. And by the process, I guess what we mean, keep our eyes on politicians, bureaucrats, and the alphabet soup of the agencies that somehow over the years the executives put together and gave all this power. And one of the funny things that has been coming out of the EPA is kind of contradicting science. And so how does an executive branch have contradicting science coming out of it? Shouldn't they all be transparent and objective and giving the truth? And what was interesting to me is I read in the Daily Signal recently, the Heritage Foundation had an annual President Club meeting last week. Scott Pruitt, the EPA chief, was present. He was asked to describe the shortcomings of the scientific evidence for climate change. And what Scott Pruitt said is that he was planning to issue a directive aimed at ensuring independence, transparency, and objectivity of the experts who serve on the agency's scientific advisory boards. And I'm wondering, what? Why didn't we already have objectivity on the executive boards when it comes to science in America? Because a lot of government money, which means our money, not government's money, right? They don't create wealth. Why is our money going to pay for science without it being true science? So I was reading through this article and I saw an interesting quote by Steve Malloy. He is the publisher of Junk Science. He is also an author of a new book out, Scare Pollution, Why and How to Fix the EPA. And I invited Steve to join us today. Hey, Steve, welcome to the AmeriChick Show.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, we sure appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Sure.
Steve, please explain to us, why is it even a necessity at this point in 2017 for us to make sure that there's objectivity in the EPA? That's an executive branch. Isn't that a given?
Absolutely. But, you know, since EPA's inception in 1970, Republicans have been deathly afraid of making EPA do the right thing. And by that, I mean something that made sense scientifically or economically. They've just been deathly afraid of it. And as a result, even under Ronald Reagan, the EPA was allowed to run wild. And now, finally, under President Trump, and I was on President Trump's EPA transition team, you know, we came up with a plan, and we're bringing EPA into line now, and we're gonna try to ensure the EPA only uses good science and sound cost-benefit analysis.
Steve, this is Kim here, and there's been a real kind of incestuous situation with the scientists that are on these different advisory boards are actually receiving grants from the EPA, and yeah. So in a way, it you know, they give the answer that
right.
This runaway EPA has been wanting.
So EPA is required by a couple of laws to use outside science advisors. To guide them in their rulemaking process. And by law, the boards are supposed to be independent and unbiased. And over the years, though, especially during the Obama years, EPA disregarded the independent and unbiased part and just stacked the boards with researchers from universities who received hundreds of millions of dollars in EPA grants. So EPA, you know, in a sense, is hiring, you know, it's paying these scientists to produce the science it wants. Then it hires the same scientists back to review their own science, which, you know, just rubber stamps whatever EPA wants to do. And so this really hit ahead during the Obama administration.
You know, Steve Malloy, I find this interesting because don't you remember that there's been a lot of movie stars and media, and there's been a real push to, quote unquote, believe science? But then what you're saying is that science has been manipulated a bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, science has been entirely corrupted by the government. You know, I think the government ought to remove itself from science because the process is so corrupted. It's been politicized. You've got, you know, what I call rent seekers, you know, research universities, researchers coming in trying to get EPA, you know, government grants to do junk science, to advance their own particular cause. It's really become quite shameful. And with EPA, you know, what launched the, you know, this initiative, Scott Pruitt's, is that EPA used this junk science, for lack of a better term, to destroy 95% of the value of the coal industry. And it was completely wrong and immoral and illegal, but EPA was allowed to get away with it. And so, you know, now we're trying to bring EPA back within the lines.
A couple of questions. The coal industry, do you think they're going to survive?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, 8 years with a guy as president that wanted to bankrupt you has put them, you know, there's a lot of stress. As I said, 95% of their market value was wiped out. President Trump has come in, you know, he's trying to reverse all that. We're going to see. You know, it's a, sort of a complicated issue. You know, coal was made to be very politically incorrect for utilities to burn. Obama also made it very expensive for utilities to burn coal. It's going to take some time to decompress and unwind all that stuff. We're just going to have to see how it plays out.
Okay. Scott, I'm sorry, Steve Malloy, another thing I want to know, you said in your book, the scare pollution, why and how to fix the EPA, that changing out the agency's advisory boards is just the first step. What else do you think we need to do to correct to make sure that the EPA is good and true and that the science that our government is basing their grants and everything else on is true?
Well, we sort of need a holistic review of what EPA does. You know, EPA was formed in 1970. A lot of the environmental laws that we work under were passed in the 1970s. And guess what? It's not the 1970s anymore. We're well into the 21st century. And, you know, our environment is clean. We know a lot more about science and economics. You know, in 1970, very few states had, you know, departments of environmental protection. Now every state has one. They're very robust. So our environment is clean. Most environmental protection is done in the states. We don't need this huge federal EPA, which, you know, does nothing now but get in the way of our economy.
Steve Malloy, now we're out here in Colorado, and Colorado is actually, I think, almost doubling down on all of this EPA kind of overreach. And in fact, the governor came out and said that we basically would abide by the Paris Climate Accords here. I'm very concerned about the financial well-being of our individual citizens and their ability to thrive and prosper under this kind of a directive from our government or our governor.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the Paris Climate Accord is ridiculous. I mean, President Trump, you know, he called global warming a hoax. I call it the Paris Climate Hoax because, you know, it's not going to do anything for the climate. I mean, there's no nation in the world except for the United States that was bound to do anything. And then when it comes to, you know, when even look at the United States, even if you shut down the U.S. economy and kept it shut down for the next 100 years, you know, global emissions of CO2 would still rise, and they would rise, you know, a lot. And the United States would have very little to do with any of that. So, you know, saying that your state is going to live by the Paris climate hoax, it's an absurdity. It's beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Steve, in your book, and we've only got a couple minutes, but in your book, I see the highlights that you're talking about. The EPA had true scientific data for more than 20 years, and Congress has been trying to get a hold of that data. Do you think we'll get it now?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, that's, you know, we're just going to have to see what the Trump administration, you know, these are all, everything you do with against the left or the environmentalists is a fight. They fight everything. Now, I know that, I'm pretty sure that when we're talking about taxpayer-funded data that EPA has kept secret from Congress, even Congress subpoenaed EPA and EPA refused to provide the data for more than 20 years. You know, and this was money paid for by taxpayers, money that went to university researchers who were hiding this data on behalf of EPA. And I think that these researchers, if nothing else, are going to lose their grant money. Are we ever going to see the data? I don't know, because I think the data is going to expose them for the frauds that they are. So, you know, there's unless some court orders them to produce the data, they won't. But I think that, at least I'm hoping, that the Trump EPA is going to cut off their taxpayer grants.
Great. Well, Steve Malloy, anybody to get more information on Steve, check out junkscience.com. And then also his book is Scare Pollution, Why and How to Fix the EPA. We sure appreciate the research that you're doing, Steve, because I'm looking at these numbers, seeing President Barack Obama received $119.2 million in EPA research grants he gave to six of the seven members of the 2015 Clean Air Science Advisory Committee. And those people on that panel cited their own work more than 700 times. How do you know it's true? Because I said so. Any final thoughts,
that
Steve?
Works.
Any final thoughts?
Yeah, you know, if people want to follow this issue, I'm on Twitter a lot at Junk Science, and then my website, junkscience.com.
Great. All right. Well, thanks so much for your time,
thanks,
Steve. We appreciate you.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516, or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes. Oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
It's time. October is here, and the scary features are hitting the screen. Please join the historic 88 Drive-In Theater and be sure to bring someone to hold on to for their upcoming triple features. Admission at 88 Drive-In Theater is only $8 per person, and children under 12 are free. Your admission includes all features. Stay for one or all three. New fall box office hours are 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 6:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday. To stay up to date on movie showings and times, go to 88drivein.net and like the 88 Drive-In on Facebook. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChick sent you.
Hey, welcome back with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim on KDMT, Denver's only money talk radio. And we are Monday to Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Tune in on 1690 a.m. or on our website, AmeriChicks.com, or download the KDMT app on your phone. You can hear it live anytime you want. And feel free to give us a call. We're going to talk about health care now, and we know that this matters to every single person living. No pun intended. Our number is 303-632-4160. So we have in studio with us Dr. Jill Vecchio. You know her. She's very, very famous as far as she's one of the only ones, unfortunately, that read the entire PPACA, otherwise known as Obamacare, 2,200 pages plus. Apparently, she couldn't sleep well at night. She solved that problem. Thanks, Jill, for being here.
Thank you.
So, you know, as soon as the PPACA passed, you started immediately going out on a road show and telling as many people as possible, regular folks like Kim and I, politicians, bureaucrats, doctors, everybody, what is going to happen long term. It seemed like short term people thought that people were going to be helped. We thought that families' prices were going to go down, the premiums were going to go down, individuals were going to go down, there'd be more services, more people would be covered. But you saw long term and you said, this is not going to happen. This is going to be bad. And you started working originally with Congress for a fix.
So when I read it, I was astonished at the extremeness of the measures that were in this thing. And I'm thinking, this is going to crash the whole healthcare system. And people weren't talking about so much of it. They just focused on a few little talking points. And there was so much more that was going to be damaging. So that's when I started giving talks on it, and I went through it by section. I mean, I gave four-hour talks if people would sit and listen, which they did. They wanted to know what was going on. So unfortunately, kind of everything that we predicted would happen with it, all the bad things did happen. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are right now.
Mm-hmm. And so we invited you in today, Jill Vecchio. We wanted to talk about the president's new executive order on health care. You know, we saw that the Republicans and the Democrats just couldn't get it together once again to actually repeal and replace Obamacare or put together anything better. And so President Trump has come up with an executive order. So, Dr. Jill, we wanted to ask you, what does it do? What are the pros and cons according to you? And what more can we do to fix it, either President Trump or Congress? So let's start just with your explanation of what does the executive order do?
Well, I think one thing I want to do, first of all, is clarify what's the executive order mm-hmm. and what is not.
Okay.
Because what we're hearing most about is Trump's stopping the subsidies to the insurance companies that Obama put in, that Obama initiated on his own, that were not really part of the PPACA or Obamacare legislation. So the insurance companies signed on to Obamacare because they really had nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Mm-hmm.
They were guaranteed, some of them were guaranteed through the PPACA. Other ones were guaranteed later just by President Obama on his own in an unconstitutional and technically illegal action where he said, you know, if the insurance companies can't quite make ends meet, we're going to supplement their income. We're going to subsidize them. And through the taxpayers, you and me, we're going to make sure that these insurance companies are happy.
How did he do that? Because he isn't supposed to have any real purse strings.
No, he doesn't have the purse strings. And Congress, by the time the Republicans took over, they filed lawsuits that are still in the courts. So that really hasn't been decided in the judicial system yet. Although there was one federal court said, yes, we agree that Congress is the only body that has the authority to make these payments because the House controls the purse strings of the federal budget according to the Constitution.
Well, now, Dr. Jill, have these subsidy or have these insurance companies been paid though? How are they paid?
They've been paid. I'm not sure for how many years, but they've been getting. It's called a CRS. I can't remember what it's called.
Continuing resolution.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. CRS. It's escaping me now.
That's okay, but it's kind of in the weeds. But they're basically
right.
getting paid.
They're getting subsidies, right? So if they say, oh, you know what, we can't quite make ends meet, so we need money from the federal government so it's kind of like almost blackmail.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pull out of these Obamacare exchanges unless you pay us money, so mm-hmm. that we can we can keep going.
Well, which made sense originally for them to have a problem with it because the insurance company. I mean, it's all about the risk. It's all about
right.
risk return and what can I afford? I'm not going to lend to you if I can't afford it,
right.
And I'm going to offer you the services for the prices that I need to be able to offer those services.
Right.
And when the government said you have to offer more services and you can't charge more, you got to get paid.
And it's even different than that because part of the reason that Obamacare has failed is because the way it was written, it depended on, it couldn't survive without young healthy people agreeing to pay a whole lot of money for insurance that they would never use.
Mm-hmm.
So when those young healthy people said, no, we're not going to buy these insurance policies because we can't afford it, and we know we're not going to use all this, which is a free market decision,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
A good consumer decision. When they refused to pay for this, the insurance companies no longer couldn't control their risk, like you said.
Right.
So it ended up that only chronically ill and people that already had acute illness or whatever were buying into the Obamacare exchanges. So the insurance companies were only insuring people who were already sick and using a lot of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That meant that they couldn't manage their risk. The risk went up, so the premiums skyrocketed through, and this is all through the Obamacare exchanges. Because let's face it, there are most of people that are insured through the workplace, and it's not through the exchange. So really, so much of what we're talking about is really only for the exchanges.
Yeah.
You know, the talking heads act like this is world, you know, like countrywide, that so many people are affected, but it's not necessarily, although the premiums in general increased for employers as well,
mm-hmm.
Even though their risk all actually didn't change that much because they're in a group market. Their market hasn't changed that much. But because of Obamacare, the insurance companies have taken advantage of this vastness of the insurance market to kind of abuse everybody.
Okay, wait, but Dr. Jill, but don't insurance companies, even if they're not on the exchanges, don't all insurance companies have to offer all of these mandated requirements?
Yes, they have to offer all the mandated requirements, yes. So that's why there was a generalized increase in premiums, mm-hmm. but it's continued to increase, even though the group market didn't change that much.
Okay.
But so in other words, the reason Obamacare is failing is because it was based on a false premise.
Mm-hmm.
It was based on a false premise that young, healthy people would agree to pay a whole lot of money for insurance they wouldn't use.
Yeah.
So that hasn't happened. So in other words, by propping up the insurance companies with these subsidies, we've created a false environment. That's number one. Number two is Obama paid these insurance subsidies illegally and unconstitutionally. So that argument is still buried in the courts, that Congress filed lawsuits to stop these payments a long time ago, years ago, and that's still buried in the court system. One federal judge said, yes, we need to stop these payments, and then the Obama administration appealed that decision, so that's an appeals court.
Okay.
So the executive order, I'm putting that in quotations, that Trump passed wasn't really an executive order. If you go to whitehouse.gov, the website, you can find all the executive orders that Trump has issued. It is not among those executive orders. All Trump did was act legally and constitutionally in the taxpayers' best interest to say, no, these are not legal and constitutional subsidies. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the one that everybody's talking about. The actual executive order is different. The actual executive order has great stuff in it. And they talked about selling insurance across state lines, and we've talked about that a little bit in the past. It's not that straightforward. What he means by selling insurance across state lines is that they're going to allow for associations, things like, let's say, Radio Broadcasters Association wanted to self-insure so that everybody involved in the Radio Broadcast Association could pool their money and self-insure or be eligible to negotiate in a large group insurance market and therefore get much lower premiums. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what part of this is. That's what they're referring to when they say selling insurance across state lines, which is very different from a technical, everybody gets to buy insurance across state lines.
Because you were concerned about that regarding the Commerce Clause.
Right, yep. right. And we won't go into that right now because I don't. If we have time, we can. Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah. So this is for allowing associations to self-insure, to group together, and they can group together nationally, in other words, across state lines.
Okay.
For either to self-insure or be involved in a large group insurance market. That also, the second thing that this executive order outlines is allowing short-term limited duration insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called STLDI, short-term limited duration insurance. Now, this existed before Obamacare, but the Obama administration, this is great for people who, because our insurance is tied to the workplace most of the time, when people leave one position, one job, they're without insurance unless they want to pay COBRA. And with COBRA,
is so expensive. You're paying the entire amount yourself.
Right. You're paying the entire amount yourself. And it's only 3% more than whatever your employer was paying for your plan. But a lot of times those plans were very lucrative, and the average person can't afford to pay those premiums. Mm-hmm. So this short-term limited duration insurance allowed people for up to 12 months or something for a short term to be in the individual market with limited regulation. So they could kind of get whatever insurance policy worked best for them in their budget and with their healthcare needs until they could find other insurance or until they could get another job. So it was really meant to tie people over between jobs. Well, the Obama administration said, no, 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 we want those people to be forced into the Obamacare exchanges. So we're only going to allow short-term insurance for 3 months or less. So it really messed up that market. It messed up a lot of people. So a lot of people were forced into these Obamacare policies that they, again, couldn't really afford. But they were forced into the exchanges. So Trump is reversing that and allowing people to get on that short-term coverage for up to 12 months. Then the other thing is health reimbursement arrangements. That's the number three that's in this executive order. And they're called HRAs. Now, we've talked about HSAs, and a lot of people out there right now have HSAs, and a lot of them have been forced to get HSAs that didn't necessarily have them or maybe didn't know about them or want them through Obamacare. So the HRAs are different than an HSA because the HRA is paid for entirely and solely by the employer. The cool thing about this is the employer has huge latitude in how they handle these funds. So in other words, the employer will set up a system by which employees are reimbursed for their medical expenses, and the employer can set it up a whole bunch of different ways. HSAs have a lot of IRS regulations. There's a lot of reporting involved with HSAs for the employer and the employee. The HRAs don't have that. So the employer could really use this for like a bargaining tool because it's not subject to income tax or employer taxes, which is great.
This is fascinating. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. We're talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio, and she's just mentioned something I was not familiar with, these HRAs. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, let's talk about those a little bit more. We'll be
Dude, I need help. How can I perfect my golf swing and keep my promise to put in a whole new kitchen by next month?
No worries. Call Rafe and Colin at Harmony Ridge Construction. They've been doing this for 40 years all over the globe. Trust me, they'll make you look like a genius, and you'll have more time to perfect that golf swing. You really need to work on that.
Great. I'll give Harmony Ridge Construction a call today. What's their number?
720-660-0265. Or visit them online at harmonyridgeconstruction.com. They're best for any small fix or large remodel. They'll help you out.
Guy Whidden, 101st Airborne, landed Normandy in the dark on D-Day 1944, was knocked out on the jump, woke up, a gun to his head. What happened next? If you love the AmeriChicks World War II Project on Fridays and know a World War II vet, we'd love to share their story. We're in a race against time to gather as many stories as possible and as quickly as possible to preserve them for all future generations. So if you know a World War II vet or have that great World War II story to share, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
Are you concerned, perplexed about the events happening in America today? Where can you go for answers? Check out the Centennial Institute at Colorado Christian University. The Centennial Institute sponsors research, events, and publications so that you can understand the most important issues facing our state and nation. By proclaiming truth, they foster faith, family, and freedom, teach citizenship, and renew the spirit of 1776. Check out their website at ccu.edu to read their latest publications and find a schedule of upcoming events. That's ccu.edu.
Hey, welcome back. We're the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt,
Kim Munson,
and
Jill Vecchio.
We've got the original team back together today, having a really great show, talking about President Trump's executive order and what that means for health insurance for the rest of us, or health care, let's say. So before we get back to that, though, real quick, I just wanted to let everybody know the movies at the 88 Drive-In. Susan Kosovar, she's got a couple more weeks, so this is the end. So if you haven't gone yet to the drive-in movie theater with your kids, get them now. And because it's Halloween, we've got some scary stuff. You've got Blade Runner 2049, Flatliners, and American Made. So go check out the 88 Drive-In, and you can check out more about them on their Facebook as well, 88drivein.net.
Great. So we have Dr. Jill Vecchio in studio with us. Molly had mentioned that Jill is one of the few people in America that read the whole Obamacare bill, and she is a healthcare expert. She has given speeches all over the country. Congressmen have reached out to her for advice. And she is able to take this information, Molly, and just really take complicated information and then put it into terms that we regular people can understand. So we're talking about President Trump's executive order, and you've indicated there's really two different things. There is some unconstitutional stuff that was put in place by the Obama administration, and so President Trump is kind of walking that back. But the executive order includes several things. One is, first of all, it allows different associations to negotiate and self-insure. Secondly, there will be, he's going to try to expand the term for the short-term limited duration insurance, which was cut by the Obama administration. But now we're talking about HRAs, health reimbursement accounts. So we had started that before we went to break. So continue on, please, Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Yeah, this is different. The HRA is different from an HSA. An HSA is where there's maybe a payroll deduction and employees accumulate money in a separate account called a health savings account. They also have medical savings accounts, flexible savings accounts. HSA, MSA, FSA are all payroll deduction employee paid accounts that may be contributed to by the employer as well. But there's more IRS reporting requirements and things like that. And there are caps on how much money can go into those as well. With an HSA, the money can accumulate over time. With the other two, it's very limited in how much you can accumulate and what happens to it at the end of the year. With an HRA, this is all paid for entirely by the employer. So the employer reimburses employees' medical expenses, and some of the things that there's a lot of flexibility in these accounts. The employer can set it up a lot of different ways. There's not the same level of IRS reporting requirements, which is really nice.
Nice.
So employers can get very creative with these. Now, there is a cap on how much money they can put into these. Also, these cannot be used by people that are self-employed, which is important, but because more and more people are going to be self-employed in the future. But that, you know, you wonder if maybe that could change, because mm-hmm. It's all that is really kind of determined by the IRS, and, you know, you wonder if there's some flexibility in the future there.
I have to ask you, though, but it's like, why would government say that if you're self-employed, you can't do this? I mean, I am so kind of tired of government picking winners and losers. So, well,
and self-employed always seems to be at the bottom of the heap, don't
I know.
They?
And they're the ones that create all the jobs.
Yeah,
you know?
But and the self-employed, apparently, it's really on the rise. Something like 60 or 70% of new business owners are self-employed, are sole proprietors.
We love entrepreneurs,
yeah.
Don't we, Mo?
Yeah. Yeah. So you got to think that Trump is going to, you know, be on our side a little bit more, because I have a self-employed, you know, I'm a sole proprietor for one of my endeavors.
But we get it too.
Yeah, we get this. So the neat thing is with these HRAs, there's no employment tax that the employer has to pay. There's the employee does not have to pay income tax on this. And it can apply to current and former employees, their spouses and dependents, which is neat. And then spouses and dependents up to 27 years old. The expenses that can qualify for HRA reimbursement include healthcare premiums, which is neat.
Wow.
It can include long-term care, which is really neat. Money, it can include money that's not covered, or expenses not covered under other healthcare plans or insurance policies. Unused amounts can carry over to the next year. So that's really nice. Now, let's see here.
What's the limit? Do you know what the limit is on it?
It varies.
Okay.
It varies depending on the employer and stuff like that. So I went through some of the IRS stuff, but that got a little more in the weeds than what I was interested in and what I thought your listeners would be interested in. But you can find out there are IRS documents on this. And one of the IRS document 969 from 2016 is where I got this information. Also, the interesting thing is, if you're a Medicare patient, you can't have a health savings account. So if you're a Medicare patient but employed, it could be that one of these, your employer may have a health and HRA that maybe could help offset some of your expenses as a Medicare patient, which is interesting. Let's see here. And with an HSA, you can't use an HSA or have an HSA unless it's tied to a high deductible insurance policy. So that's not the case with the HRA. So I found those interesting differences. Yeah. Now, there are probably a lot of employers listening to this show that know a lot more about this than I do. So I'd love to hear from them about how they use it and what they've done with it, what they think of this. But I think it's a brilliant move.
Well, I'd love to give our phone number since you said that. If there is an employer listening or anyone else has a question or a comment, 303-632-4160. Joe Vecchio, you know, Kim and I had on the air probably at the end of last year a business owner, and we weren't sharing names then. We won't share them now because she was talking about her frustration and the fact that the premiums had gone up so much for her employees' health insurance. She wanted to be able to help them, but legally under Obamacare, she was not allowed to give them any extra money to help them with their premiums, even if it was increasing their salaries or their take-home pay just so that they would have a little bit extra to put towards their premiums. She said that was not allowed under Obamacare.
That's interesting, and that's something I would like to hear from an employer about.
Okay,
because I don't know enough about that aspect of it. So much of the details of how this is really working in the real world and how employers are working around it and insurers are working around what's actually in PPACA is always interesting to me, because what was in the law, a lot of it has never come to pass. A lot of like the Independent Payment Advisory Board, that still doesn't exist.
Which is a good thing,
which
right?
is a really good thing, but that was supposed to be a key aspect of Obamacare. So there's a lot of stuff Obama, he himself changed without congressional legislation. There's a lot of things that the Congress changed. There were at least 72 changes, like real significant changes to the law that is Obamacare that we were never consulted about, most of which we don't even know about. So there is hard to keep track of what has actually come to pass that was in the legislation, what hasn't come to pass, what has morphed around into something different. So that's why it's always good to hear from
business
your
owners.
Listeners.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask the business owner to tell you about it. Real quick, though, you said, so with the HRAs, the health reimbursement accounts, they're paid 100% by employer, and the employers don't have to pay tax on that?
Correct. There's no, what, not, they don't pay any employment taxes on it. So, yeah.
So that's a nice way to get some extra cash to your employee.
Yes, and it's a neat way to maybe negotiate with employees that are highly sought after.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of a great way to make the playing field more interesting.
And that's what it was supposed to be to begin with the health insurance, with 401ks, with all that stuff, right?
Exactly.
I think back in the 30s.
It was a salary freeze, so the employers started benefit plans in order to compete.
How can I get qualified employees? This was it.
And
then under the PPACA and Obamacare, they said, no, we're going to knock everybody down to one area and hurt everybody, employers and employees.
Right.
Jill, do you happen to know if the employer can deduct that from his taxes?
You know, I can't remember. There are limits to how much they can contribute, so you would think that would be tied to some deduction issue.
Right.
Okay. Somehow, or unless it's just less just the fact that there are no employment taxes, they want to limit how much
employment tax
exempt from what
they're for some
exempt.
Reason, the government thinks that anytime they give you a tax break,
they've got to regulate
that
it
somehow. They're taking their money away instead of your money away.
Exactly. Bingo.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, there are a couple other things that are included in this executive order. They want to expand the availability and access to alternatives to the expensive mandate-laden PPACA insurance. In other words, I think they want to make a lot more options for people to purchase insurance that does not have to conform to the Obamacare insurance mandates, which is brilliant.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, so, and it's, these are just generalized. This executive order is really only 5 pages long. It's short, and it's very easy to read. But so these are fairly generalized statements.
Okay, and Jill, again, where can people find the actual text of these?
This one, I got it off of whitehouse.gov.
Okay. We have Dr. Jill Vecchio in studio with us. We're talking about President Trump's executive order on health care. We are going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to hear the fifth thing that is in the executive order. This is Molly Vogt and Kim. And this is Kim Munson and Molly Vogt. We'll be right back.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516. Or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her the Americhicks sent you.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing from the Americhicks, Molly and Kim, chances are your future clients do too. Let us help you promote your business and fatten up your wallet. To feature your business on the Americhicks program, email us at americhicks@gmail.com. We feature the most topical news and intriguing guests every weekday during afternoon drive time, 5 to 6 p.m., while you and your clients are enjoying the program on your way home from work. So become a sponsor today by emailing the Americhicks, Molly and Kim, at americhicks@gmail.com. That's the americhicks@gmail.com. Or visit us online at americhicks.com. Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The Americhicks, Molly and Kim personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
We are the Americhicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson, and we have Dr. Jill Vecchio in studio with us. Before we get back to this very interesting conversation regarding President Trump's executive order on health care, Molly, we love entrepreneurs, and Evan, your IT guy, is a fabulous new company. It is a network of IT professionals. They're ready to provide on-demand help with all of your computer needs. And you can check them out at evanyouritguy.com. And the great thing about it is they are really focused on small businesses and individuals. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, you've got all kinds of things that you have to pay. Obviously, we've got all this healthcare stuff and licensing and all these different regulations. But you really need a trusted IT support system. And many times you can't have an IT, you don't have enough money to have an IT person on staff. So Evan, your IT guy, really fits that and you know, takes care of that problem. So check them out, evanyouritguy.com. And they are hiring veterans as well.
Yep. Yep. We love that.
Yep. So, and again, that is evanyouritguy.com. So be sure and check them out. Dr. Jill Vecchio, we are into our last segment already. Our conversations go way too quickly. And as Molly mentioned, initially it was the three of us as the Americhicks. And you were on top of what was happening in America long before everybody else. You've spent a lot of time going out and informing people and have you just kind of needed to take a step back. You had some things going on, and we do miss you, but it was a fun time during that time. So it's always great when we get back together. So thanks for being here.
It was really fun. We used to have dinners, and we'd drink some wine, and Kim's husband would cook these fabulous dinners, and we called it AmeriChicks Unplugged. We really should have recorded those sessions, because, man, it's a fantastic conversation.
I can't even imagine the blackmail.
Though. Yeah, they get very robust, don't they? Because we don't always agree on everything, but, man, we learn a lot from each other.
Yes, exactly.
So we're going through President Trump's executive order, and you've gone through this again with a fine-tooth comb. People really trust you because you're transparent and you give the basis of why you're giving your opinion on things. So let's go to the fifth component of this executive order that President Trump signed on health care.
Right. Now, this one says, and I'll just read it verbatim, to re-inject competition into healthcare markets by lowering barriers to entry, limiting excessive consolidation, and preventing abuses of market power. And let's face it, there's a big problem with these huge insurance companies and huge corporate healthcare, huge healthcare corporations that are continually consolidating so that we have fewer and fewer choices. And especially, what was it, Aetna and Cigna or something? There were two huge health insurance companies that wanted to consolidate but were barred from doing it, which was good. And I think that was in, I can't remember if it was national or just in Colorado. So, but it, when you have more competition, obviously it keeps prices lower and so forth. So his executive order is instructing regulatory agencies and things like CMS and Department of Labor and so forth to make it easier for insurance companies to enter the insurance market with healthcare. So let's say we had a Progressive or Geico or something that wanted to do, or like Shelter Insurance or State Farm. Some of these used to do health insurance years ago. Health, it was always auto, health, life, home,
right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they were all bundled together. Well, that's kind of gone away. So let's get that back. Let's get that back where more people, more companies can enter the health insurance market and increase competition in the marketplace.
You know, Jill, just to interject, and this is one of the things that, again, I think the three of us learned together, it was kind of like taking the blinders off, is big government and big corporation or big business like each other.
They're very similar.
Right. And so what you've seen is this consolidation by our insurance companies. You're seeing it with hospitals. I talked to a doctor that had an individual practice for many years. And he looked at me and he said, I thought I was a good doctor, but I thought I was a really bad businessman. But then what he figured out is it was the government regulations that were really putting the squeeze on him. And so there's been pressure for doctors to consolidate and go into these different
corporate medicine. They're selling their practices to big insurance companies and corporate, like the big corporations that have a bunch of outpatient facilities or something that are national, like Health South and, you know, Touchstone, and we have a bunch of them around Colorado and around nationwide that own multiple facilities, and they're buying up doctor practices. So the doctors are just becoming employees, and that takes away all of the incentive to provide really good patient care and customer service that individual doctor practices needed to have. They needed to provide good customer service. Well, when they've sold out to a hospital, that kind of goes away.
And through rules and regulations and all of these things that have squeezed these practices, that's about, you know, for most of them, that was their only alternative.
Exactly.
So I'm hoping that this will open this up again for our young doctors.
Exactly. Yes. And hopefully is exactly what will happen. Number six, and I'll read this again verbatim, improve access to and the quality of information that Americans need to make informed healthcare decisions, including data about healthcare prices and outcomes, while minimizing reporting burdens on affected plans, providers, or payers. Isn't that what we've talked
That's
about?
That's what you've said for years.
Post prices. And what this also says is, let's make it advantageous. Let's make it not painful for providers to post prices. Because right now, there are a lot of barriers to healthcare providers from posting their prices, because that means, well, now the insurer is going to come back at me and say, oh, well, now let's renegotiate your reimbursement that you get from us, because now you've posted this price for cash that's so much lower, where the cash price should be much lower than the reimbursement that they get from these healthcare payers from the third party payers, because now the provider doesn't have to fill out all this paperwork
and have employees to do it.
Exactly. So the overhead in a provider's office may be 40%. 40% of the overhead may be just filling out paperwork, abiding by government regulations, and trying to get paid. So if they didn't have to pay all of this money for the regulations and the third-party payer paperwork, they should be able to offer cash prices for their services that are much lower.
Plus the percentage that the insurance company keeps themselves.
Exactly.
Right? So, yeah,
right.
You get 100% of the dollar that somebody gives you if they give it to you directly rather than going through the government where they take their percentage.
Right. And then that allows the providers to have a much better cash flow, much more reassurance that they're going to be paid for their services because they're going to be paid at the time of the service.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot more flexibility in what they offer, how much they charge for it, and they have the flexibility to give free care that a lot of times they don't have now.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if we didn't have to have insurance at that, unless it was catastrophic? Like we could just, I got a sore whatever, or, you know, just want a checkup or something small like that, I could just go pay cash.
Right, right. So, I mean, for instance, today I was at a dentist and I needed some stuff done. And I said, so how much is this going to cost? So they wrote it out for me. And, oh, well, do you have dental insurance? Yeah, I have this. Okay, well, they'll pay this much. I said, so how much would it be if I was just going to pay cash, period? Oh, well, that would be that much more. And I'm kind of looking at her going, why would it be more? Well, because we've negotiated this price with this insurer. So you're much better off going through your insurer. That's a mindset that is warped. It's a warped mindset. The mindset should be, wow, well, we negotiated this with this insurer, but gosh, if you're going to pay us cash and we don't have to jump through their hoops and we don't have to do all this stuff, then we can give you a really great price. Mm-hmm. Whereas they were only going to give a 15% discount off of their overall charge. And the charge is always a grossly inflated number.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, we really need to change the mindset of these providers so that they can start to think in a more open-minded way how they're going to benefit from people paying cash rather than having to go through these insurance companies with these falsified charges, discounts, blah, blah, blah.
Stop the game. Just streamline it.
Game.
Make it cheaper for all of us.
So is there anything else, Jill, in this executive order?
That's it. We've gone through everything. Yay.
Wow.
It's a really great executive order.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everything's legal. Everything that he's instructing them to do is all based on rules and regulations that are not legislation. So he's not opposing the Obamacare law. He's not breaking any, you know, legal or constitutional boundaries. This is all stuff that he has complete legal executive power to do.
Okay. Now, Jill, we're just about out of time. I'm going to put you on the spot. Let's do a real quick round here with the different things that are in this executive order. So number one.
Number one is allowing associations to band together, people in associations to band together to negotiate for large group insurance or to self-insure.
Number two.
Short-term limited duration insurance for people, say, between jobs, that's extended from 3 months under Obama to 12 months.
Number three.
Health reimbursement arrangements, HRAs, that are paid for by the employer, don't have as much regulation or IRS reporting requirements. The employers have a great deal of flexibility in how they can help their employees pay for their health care.
Number four.
Expanding the access to alternatives to the mandates that were proposed under Obamacare.
Love it. Number five.
Lowering the barriers to allow entry into the health insurance market by different companies so that maybe we could have companies that could offer auto, home, health, life, and therefore even lower premiums further and increase competition in the marketplace.
Wow. Number six.
Improving access to information, promoting the idea of posting health prices for your health care, and decreasing regulatory burden.
Okay. I'd written down the number seven. Was there seven or was there only six?
Really kind of only six.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dr. Jill Vecchio, thank you so much for coming in and
explaining this to us. This has really been great, Molly.
It really has. People are very confused and, you know, wondering, how can we go around Congress? How can we do this? Is this okay? Is this going to help people? Is it going to hurt people? And that's, you know, we asked you to come in, Dr. Jill, and tell us, does this executive order help or hurt? Is there anything in here that you don't like? It sounds like you're saying everything in this executive order you like and you think will be helpful.
I think it's great. And I think Trump is listening to people when they're telling him what their problems are. And what needs to be fixed. And he's doing things step by step, very transparently. This is so easy to read. And, you know, the average person can read this executive order and understand what it is. He's got good advisors, and he is working in the best interest of the American taxpayer, the American consumer, the American provider, not big corporations and insurance companies.
I love it. Thanks so much, Dr. Jill Vecchio. And Ronald Reagan's quote, government's view of the economy could be summed up in a few short phrases. If it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. And if it stops moving, subsidize it.
This is the AmeriChicks signing out. See y'all tomorrow.